Study of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to enter into a new aspect of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. If you would turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, and I will probably be 2 or 3 weeks on the subject of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, we're going to deal with the rest of the chapter here, at least in part tonight, but one thing that you find out right away, that within the saint of God, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have two natures that oppose one another. The nature that you were born with, that you inherited from your parents, which is a sinful nature that goes all the way back to Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that all have sinned. That fleshly, carnal, sinful nature is in every person that is a descendant of Adam, which means everybody except for one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of a woman, made under the law. The Holy Spirit actually overshadowed the womb of Mary, and he was born of a virgin in a most miraculous way. But everybody else is born with a sinful, fleshly nature that rebels against God, that's at carnal enmity against God. Jesus said, that which is flesh is flesh. You know what that means? It means it'll never get any better. You can't improve your fleshly nature. It's rotten. It's filthy. It's ungodly. To the very core. The only thing you can do as a believer is kill it, mortify it, crucify it by walking in the Spirit, by obeying and yielding to God. So, you're born with that nature. Now, every lost person is only born with one nature. And that's this fleshly nature that is totally opposed to God. God has to overcome that in a new birth. He has to overwhelm a sinner and change their will, or they'll continue to go on in the flesh. That's all they know, is sin. In fact, the Bible says the very thought of foolishness is sin. The Bible says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. Why? Because it's done with a carnal nature, and it's not done in faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's the condition of every lost man, woman, boy, and girl. They have a fleshly nature that opposes God. Now, if you're saved here tonight, it means that you have been born again. You have been born by the Holy Spirit in the new birth, and He immediately, at that moment of spiritual life, gave you the gifts of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The very moment you were born of the Spirit, you were given the grace to repent of your sins and believe the gospel message. How that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. So now, you as a believer, you still have an old nature, a fleshly nature, but now you have a new nature. which is a spiritual nature, that is created after the image of God in righteousness and true holiness. You've got a new nature that's a product of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And as He works in you and works in that new nature, along with the truth of the Word of God, He begins to produce fruit. But even with all of that, as a believer, you're in a warfare every day. A spiritual warfare. Verse 8, verse 17 is really a synopsis of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, where he wrote a much lengthier version of what he condenses in one verse here. Because in Romans chapter 7, he talks about, you know, the sinful nature that was contrary to God, contrary to the law of God, that didn't want to do right, and the new nature that wants to do right, and how these two are always at odds with one another. The Spirit of God indwells all believers, and He leads them in opposition to the flesh, and of course the old nature leads in opposition to the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, meaning you're not under the condemnation of the law. And it goes back to Romans 8, 1, 2, and 3. I'm no longer, because I have been born of God, because I'm washed in the blood, I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to me, and I am no longer under the condemnation of the law. That condemnation's been taken away. That's what this means. I'm not under the law as far as salvation, and I'm no longer under that condemnation. And here's the amazing thing. When you're born of the Spirit and you have the Spirit dwelling in you, you know what your whole attitude changes. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Before I was saved, the law was nothing to me but a threatening instrument showing me my ungodliness, my wretchedness, my complete inability to measure up to God's perfect standard. Now that I'm saved, I love God's commandments. I love His law. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, I want to honor God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He magnified the law. He honored the law. And we're to love what He loves. In Psalm 119, we've been going through that here pretty regularly lately. You see over and over again how somebody that has a heart for God loves His laws, His truth, His statutes, His principles. The fact is, this battle is ongoing in the life of all Christians, and it causes us to long for the release of being completely done with the flesh. You know, Paul in Romans 7 said, O wretched man that I am, that he understood his fleshly nature that opposed God. O wretched man that I am, presently, he said, who shall deliver me from this present death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is coming a day of complete deliverance from the flesh. And how I long for that. But in the rest of this chapter, Paul goes on to teach that both of these powers, the flesh and the spirit, produce certain characteristics that are evident in the life of an individual who submits to them. As a believer, you're not to submit to the flesh. You're not to allow it to reign over you, because you got a new king. It's Jesus. Notice what he says now, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are shown. Which are these? And he deals specifically with sexual uncleanness. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. So the works of the flesh have to do with sexual uncleanness. And that is not just physical, but also spiritual. You know, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you're committing adultery. So it has to do with your heart attitude. And then he goes on, idolatry. This is a work of the flesh. It's when you put anything ahead of God, ahead of His commandments. That's why Paul said in Colossians 3 that covetousness is idolatry. When you desire the things of this world more than you desire God, that's idolatry. Witchcraft. Of course, that has to do with the occult and also drug abuse. Hatred. That's a work of the flesh. And it's in every one of us. Variance. Emulations. Always trying to compare yourself. And trying to compare yourself to other people. And you know what? We're only to measure ourselves with Jesus Christ. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. All these things are the work of the flesh. He goes on. You know what? You don't hear Baptists preaching about this much. You know, I don't drink, cuss, smoke, or chew. I don't run with those that do. You know, like that old poem. But Baptists love it when you preach against drinking because we don't do it. Baptists love it when you would preach against smoking. For the most part, people don't smoke. Boy, when you get down to envy and wrath and what envyings, murders, drunkenness. Listen, if a person is living the life of a drunkard, they're living in the flesh. And they're not giving evidence they've truly been born of God. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord did a work in me, drunkenness went out immediately. I couldn't live that way any longer. Revelings, partying all the time, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, if your normal course of life is this way, you're not saved. You're not born of God. You've not been born of the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, well, preacher, I was envious of somebody yesterday. Yeah, and you got convicted about it. There's a huge difference between walking in the flesh and not having any concern or conviction. And then, as you read these verses and just a word of explanation, and you feel yourself, oh man, I'm convicted about that. See, one of the ways I know that the Spirit of God dwells in me is I get convicted over sin. When I'm wayward, when I have wrong thoughts, when I say wrong things and I have wrong motives, I get convicted. The Spirit of God makes me miserable. And I seek repentance. Now, by way of contrast, and he introduces us to the fruit of the Spirit. But, in contrast to the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you'll notice, it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it is the fruit of the Spirit. Meaning, this is what the Spirit of God produces spiritually in a person's life. Now, we're going to deal with these more in depth, but it's interesting to me that love is the first one mentioned, because that's how God starts. The Holy Ghost sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. You see, before I was born again, I had no love for God. No love for His Word. No love for His way. No love for His will. But when He worked in me and shed that love abroad in me, it changed my whole outlook. Immediately. That very moment. God's love was shed abroad. I experienced the love of Almighty God. And it's changed me forever. Now I don't love the things I used to love. Now I love the things that God prescribes in His Word. I couldn't explain it after I was saved. I didn't know any better. But I can remember my grandpa saying, "What in the world has happened to you?" And I said, the Lord saved me, man, and changed my whole outlook. Because that grace of love. And then joy. Oh, I experienced times of happiness at different times based on my circumstances before I was saved. But I didn't know what joy was. I didn't know what joy unspeakable was. I didn't know what joy in believing was until God saved me. And now I've got joy. No matter what's going on in the world, I've got joy. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I'm about ready to break out in song. Peace. Peace with God, the peace of God. This is the work of the Spirit. This is how God's people can endure the most difficult trials, sicknesses, setbacks, because we've got a peace that the world knows nothing of in Jesus Christ. Long-suffering. The ability to be long-suffering. Now, this is one that needs... God, you know how He does it? I'll tell you how He's made me long-suffering. Children. Grandchildren. Yeah. That's how He works. That's how He's taught me a lot. I look back here at my bearded son, and man, I've had to exercise a lot of long-suffering with that old brother. Long-suffering, gentleness. Oh, that is not a weakness when God's people can have a kind, compassionate, gentle spirit. Goodness. Just doing good. Desiring to have good works manifest in you. Doing what's right. Faith. Believing God. Trusting Him. Meekness. Submission. Resignation to God's will and His providence in your life. Temperance. Bringing your body under subjection. Not being a drunkard, not being a doper, and tempering your desires and making them, putting them down so that you can serve God. Temperance in all things. He says, against such there is no law. So this is a contrast. And I pray that God will allow us to see how important it is that our lives manifest the fruit of the Spirit more so than any of the works of the flesh. The flesh is not dead in a Christian, but it was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not me, but Christ that liveth in me. The terms crucifixion and mortification are used in the Bible to describe the death and weakening power of sin in a Christian's life. That's where to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And those whose lives are constant displays of fleshly works, they're not going to enter into God's kingdom according to verse 21. He says in verse 24, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now that's really an introduction to the fruit of the Spirit. If you take nothing else away from this, your old fleshly nature, that originates with man and sin. That's how the flesh, that's where you got your fleshly nature. The fruit of the Spirit, that originates with God. Specifically, God the Holy Spirit. And next week, we're going to look at the source of the Christian's fruit. And it's pretty simple. You already know part of it. It comes from the Spirit of God working in us. And we'll also deal with the importance of the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the gifts of the Spirit. Because they are different. And so we'll deal with that next week, God willing. But tonight, that'll be our lesson.